This is the Should Have Bet More podcast, presented by Goal Boys Network. Here's your host, Will Hill.
Welcome to the Should Have Bet More podcast, presented by Goal Boys. Coming up on the show, Mitch Moss of VSiN will join us. We'll get his thoughts on some baseball, some futures. He is always diving at the these deeper long shots, looking all over the map for value. So excited to talk to Mitch. He's good at finding these. So we'll see what he's got. We're about a month away from baseball here, and maybe probably dive into some other things with Mitch as well too. Is just kind of still that in between period of the year where college basketball, you know, football is still kind of a hot button issue. All these quarterbacks in flux. The combine this week. The draft not that too far away. And again, NBA and college basketball kind of in full swing here. So a lot going on, even though it is sort of a dead period of the year and, you know, a few days away from March, which means these tournaments are not that far away. So we'll talk to Mitch in a couple minutes. I'll start with baseball because I was talking about this with Jeff Parles, and I've talked about it a little bit these last couple weeks, the Mets pitching being an issue. And do they have enough pitching? And with Montas getting hurt, that's really not a great rotation. Senga's injury prone. Well, not only is Montas out, now Sean Manaea, who's there, 1-2, it could kind of go either way, had a really strong second half of the season last year, was pretty good for them in the playoffs. He will be out with a lat strain. Now, it's a right oblique strain. He's unlikely to start the season with the team. So they're talking maybe end of April. We'll have to see, you know, how long he shut down for, when he bounces back. I've noticed with these injuries, and it really kind of goes for all these teams, anytime you give a timeline, you can usually kind of add a few weeks to that just because they're very careful in the ramp up. And very rarely do you get a timeline where he beats the timeline by a couple weeks. More often than not, it's either right on the timeline, or I would say the majority of the time, it's either past the timeline by a couple weeks. So let's say you get him back, I don't know, May 1st, middle of May. You're only missing a handful of stars. I mean, would this change how you feel about the Mets still sitting here at 90.5 wins? They are plus 240 to win the NL East. It wouldn't change my outlook on them, although I do think just in general they are thin on pitching. But that's more so like once you get to the playoffs, and I do think they have a lineup that will get them to the playoffs and a bullpen that will get them to the playoffs, and you can kind of piece the starting pitching together. I don't know if that's championship starting pitching. That would not keep me off of a bet in terms of like the division, if you'd be so inclined, and give credit to Jeff Parles. We had him on Monday and he brought this up where a lot of books have the Mets like plus 110, plus 120, very short numbers to win the division. And DraftKings has them plus 230, plus 240. Looking right now, plus 240. There's not that big of a gap. Like Jeff said, there's not that big of a gap between, in my mind, the Mets, the Phillies and the Braves, where the Braves are plus 110, Phillies plus 215, and the Mets are plus 240. Then you have the Nats 65-1, Marlins 250-1. There's just, to me, you throw a blanket over the three teams. It's who stays healthy, who, you know, adds somebody at the deadline, who gets a surprising performance, either good or bad. You could talk me into the Braves should be the favorite, getting Strider back, getting Acuna back. That's just a good organization. It's a deep team. But to me, those three teams should be closer to having similar odds. So I can understand you think, all right, these three teams are equal, I'll just take the longer odd with the Mets at plus 240. I still don't think that's a bad bet, even if I am worried about their pitching. You know, I'll add one more thing here before I get a couple other bets I like here in baseball. Sandy Alcantara being a Met would not surprise me. Middle of the season, early in the season, you usually don't trade, you know, he's going to start opening day for the Marlins. You usually don't trade your opening day starter, you know, spring training or a month in, 2 months in. Usually you wait to the deadline. You kind of field offers, you make it a bidding war, but the Mets have prospects to trade. The Marlins, as bad as they are, they have a lot of pitching, and they just that's one where you could trade Alcantara in and you just cash him in for chips and kind of go from there. That's been the Marlin way forever. You almost want to establish his health because a few years ago he wins the Cy Young. 2 years ago he was shaky, and then last year he missed the whole season with Tommy John. So you almost want to establish that he's healthy, he's back. Get a good Cy Young type of month, 6 weeks from him. Show people that he's back to being his, you know, the best version of himself, and then get as much as you can from him. But to me, the Mets, Alcantara, the Mets need a pitcher. They've got prospects. And here's the thing, when you spend money, you can afford to kind of get rid of some of these prospects because, you know, you're going to go in on the Sotos of the world. You don't need your prospects as much if you're going to fill that with free agents and major league talent. So to me, that's a match, and that would really, if you're getting the best version of Alcantara, that could really change your your outlook in terms of what kind of pitching you have. And that's why I wouldn't panic too much about the Mets pitching, because I do think they will add somebody. Now, if Senga gets hurt, which he's been known to do, eventually you just run out of injuries where you don't have enough you don't have enough band-aids to put on all the wounds. But to me, that's a good match, and I don't mind Mets plus 240 to win the division with that lineup and how closely these teams are bunched together. Plus, they're going to be motivated to add an arm, maybe add a second arm here at some point. And Manaea's not going to be out that long, so I mean, look, if he misses 5 or 6 starts, probably one or two of them of those starts weren't going to be good to begin with. These guys go 5, 6 innings. Could you replace that 30 innings or so with what Manaea's going to give you? 5, 6 innings. 2 runs. Could you find somebody that's going to go 5, 6 innings and give up 3 runs? And maybe it's not that big of a deal. It's possible. I don't think it's the end of the world, though. I do think the Mets pitching, big picture, in order to win a championship, I do think they're a little light. A couple bets I like before we get to Mitch, just scanning these, and there's so many to go through. To me, Judge 49.5 home runs to the under is a really good bet. He had 58 last year, but he played in every game. He only missed 3 games, 158 games. If you look at the back of his baseball card, he's been healthy 3 out of the last 4 years, but been in the league 7, 8 years. He's had 4 seasons where he's missed a good chunk of the season. He's going to be 33 very early in the season. If he misses a month, he's not going to hit the 50 homers. Plus, I know Soto batted in front of him, so you can't call it protection, but Judge is going to walk a lot. Judge went up to the plate a lot of times where Soto's on first or second. Soto's on first, or you had men on first and second, and it's harder to walk Judge in that situation. Without Soto there, and well, probably put Bellinger behind him, there's going to be a lot of pitchers. If you're smart, look, 2 out, nobody on. You're not going to walk him every time, but you're going to be very careful with him. I think it's going to be hard for him in a lineup that is unproven around him and with his injury history, even though it's been better lately. I think Judge under 49.5 homers is a good bet. And one last one. Is Dodgers are minus 160 to get the one seed in the National League. They just have to have the best record in the National League. To me, that's a good bet. I mean, it's simple. It's not, it's nothing profound. But with that team, with that depth, I mean, they had a million pitching injuries last year, and still won the amount of games they had. And a couple of years ago, or 2 or 3 years ago, they won 110 games, even though they lost in the first round. To me, they are somewhere between 106, 108. I think they clear the 103.5. I think they're the one seed. So I'm okay going over the 103.5, and I think them getting one seed is a pretty safe bet, because I don't think anyone in the Central is going to win it. They're not going to have that 100-plus win season to do that. None of those teams in the Central are that level of dominant. And the NL East is just going to beat up on each other, because the Mets, Braves, and Phillies are all good, and they often play each other about 14 times or so. Plus, the Nationals are not that bad, and as bad as the Marlins have pitching. So I think that division will keep that number down. So to me, Dodgers minus 160 to the one seed is a good bet. So Dodgers minus 160 to be the one seed. Judge under 49.5 homers. And I do still think the Mets, counterintuitive. Oh, pitcher gets hurt, now you're going to bet him to win the division. I just think, thinking about what Jeff said the other day, and the gap in the pricing to me has me inclined to just take the longer price. So Mets plus 240 at DraftKings to win the division, I don't think is bad either. Just I think those three teams in the East are fairly equal. So we'll see what Mitch Moss thinks, get his thoughts on some futures, maybe some NFL, some college basketball. That is next. This Should Have Been More podcast. All right, we are back. Should Have Been More podcast. You can catch him on VEASAN 4 to 7 Eastern weekdays. It is our buddy Mitch Moss. Mitch, what's up, man? How's it going?
Pretty well, Will. How are you?
All is well, man. We will get into the sports, some betting. I want to get your thoughts on some baseball, because you do a great job diving into these futures, these long shots. But you had a very nice little, what was it, Friday? You stepped into the casino and the gods were smiling upon you. Can you regale us with that story? The floor is yours.
Okay, there's a little bit of a background to the story that I think that I need to set it up with to explain exactly why and how it happened. So, Thursday night, Four Nations title game. There's a spot in downtown Las Vegas at the D called Bar Canada. Obviously, great for hockey viewing, right? And so I wanted to go there with Mike Palm, the VP of the casinos down there, along with a couple of other people from VSiN, like Jonathan Von Tobel and Adam Burke. So that was the plan. I'm going to go down there and watch the game. And it turned into a very long night. First of all, I went to overtime, and then we eventually stayed out and played craps late until the evening. And there's a reason why I'm telling you that story. So, first intermission, I decide, and we've had a couple of, beers at this point. I decide I'm going to go play a little bit of video poker. Found a pretty hot machine in the high limit and won some decent money. I cash out the ticket, but I never redeemed the ticket at the D. So then I still had it in my wallet like the next day. Turns out I'm out for way too long. My wife and I, we have a 10-month old. I told my wife I was going to be home much earlier than what I was. And his name is Sebastian. He was very difficult that night. And so you can imagine how that was going. And I don't blame my wife for being like, yo, you said you're going to be home earlier. Bash has been a nightmare. I could use a little bit of help. I'm like, I get it. And I told her, look, Friday, Saturday, so this weekend, I'm going to be the best husband, best dad I can possibly be, right? Whatever you want to do, go ahead and do it. I'll take Sebastian. Well, Friday after our show, I was walking back up to the garage to get out of there. And I decided, you know what? I got this slip in my wallet and I can't cash a ticket at Circa where we broadcast from the D. And so I'd have to walk back over there and cash the ticket. And I put my stuff back in my car. And in this moment, I'm like, I don't want to have this ticket with me all weekend long in case I don't come back downtown. I could lose it. And I don't want to lose that much money. So I decided, I text Lorraine. I'm going to go and walk over to the D, cash the ticket, and I'm going to come home and I'll take care of dinner, whatever else. So I walk over to the D. This is probably, this process now is about a 15-minute process, right? From going up to the garage, walking over to the D, cashing ticket, and then walking back to Circa. And as I'm getting back into Circa, I said, I just want to test this machine for a couple of minutes. It's been pretty good to me over the years, right? So I walk upstairs. I'm only going to play for a couple of minutes before I bail. I'm in a pinch, right? I sit down, I play, I put in the money. It's not going very well. So I went from 10 bucks a push. I like to play 10 play on this video poker. It's called Ultimate X, double, double. My goal is to hit four aces potentially with a kicker. The payout's really, really good. So it's not going very well. I go from 10 cents to 25 cent denomination where it's going okay. And then I decided to go to 50, which is 50 bucks a push. And within this whole thing, process of me sitting down and playing is about 10 minutes, which is unheard of. And about 10 minutes in, I'm dealt three to the royal flush. I got some multipliers on the board, including a couple with 10 times. And on the lowest line, it's three to a royal, but I'm dealt another spade. And so you want to go for like the multipliers. Right. And I thought for a second, I'm like, well, do I go for the flush here? It's more realistic than a royal. And I said, no, I can't do that. I got to keep three to a royal. So I keep the queen, the jack, and the ace, I believe is what it is. And I send the other two back. And on that lower line with a 10 times multiplier, bam, it hits. And I see it and I'm like, whoa, wait a second here. That's a royal flush. And then I'm thinking to myself, that's 10 times. So I see the credits on the screen. It says 40,000 credits. And I totally forgot because this is all happening so fast. And again, I'm trying, I'm like, am I going to justify being out this long? I should probably get going. Then I hit this jackpot. And I kind of had forgotten that I moved to 50 cents. So then I'm just watching the credits unload on the machine and the money grow. I'm not even doing the math at this point yet. I'm just like, what? And keep in mind, I've been playing video poker, I've been in Vegas for more than 2 decades. I've hit a couple of royal flushes, but not a ton, nothing to really write home about. And the biggest video poker jackpot I've ever hit was like for $4,800. Well, Paulie has played more video poker than me, but he has said, I can't believe it for as long as I've been playing. He's hit some like $20,000 jackpot, 16,000 others, kind of same thing. So I'm just like looking behind me, looking for the slot people. And I got this humongous smile on my face, obviously. I'm like, hey, you're gonna have to come over here pretty soon. And then the crowd is gathering, they're walking by, they're like, holy smokes, that's kind of a big one. And then I said this on our show yesterday, it was like a boxer who was staggered like right away in the first round or two. You're just trying to survive, right? And get to the end of the round. And I'm just like, I still can't believe it. I hit a Royals 10 times. And then as it's continuing to grow, I look at it again. I'm getting closer to the screen. I'm like, wait a second, that's gonna be 20,000. That's going to be $20,000. So you can hit a button and it automatically just says, there you go. That's how much you won. I wasn't going to do that. I wanted to enjoy the moment. I wanted the credits to go all the way through in real time. The process took, I think, more than 10 minutes because I took a couple of pictures on my phone when I first hit it. And then after it was done. And by the way, that was it, $20,000, by far the biggest video poker score I've ever had in my entire life. And I think I made the best decision I will ever make in my entire life, Will. They came over and asked me if I would like, if I'm going to play a little bit longer, if I wanted a security escort. And I just said, I'm going to play out what I have left on the machine after they gave me the 20,000 and change there. I had like 374 bucks left. So I've heard about a machine getting really, really hot, and you can pop it for a couple of jackpots like within five hands. So I wanted to keep playing like that $374 to see what would happen. It didn't go well. I lost it within a minute, 2 minutes, whatever. $50 a push can go really, really fast. And so then I just said I would love a security escort, and I took all that money from the jackpot. I had a couple of security members walk me into the garage. A lot of cash for me to be. I don't like carrying a lot of cash at all. And so I tipped them. I tipped the floor person who gave me all the cash, and I got on my way. I bailed, and I put like 80% of it in the bank the next day.
Wow, what a story. That's there's no better feeling as a better than having a big win in that split second of calculating what you won and realizing, oh my goodness, I'm doing the math in my head and it's just kind of clicking. That second before it all clicks is just the best.
It was wild, and I couldn't, I didn't sleep well this weekend because I just kept reliving that moment over and over and over again. And when a lot of people, like I put it up on X a little bit later on in the night, and people were like, "Oh my God, don't tell your wife." And I was like, "Well, it's a little bit too late for that because I had to call her and say, again, keeping in mind, like I was out really late the night before, and our baby boy was like very difficult to deal with." And so this whole process of like hitting a jackpot, filling out the paperwork, getting paid takes a long time. So I had to call her and say, I'm going to be a little bit later than I thought. Why? It's because I hit the biggest jackpot of my entire life.
Was she as excited as you were? Or was she like, get the
No.
hell home?
No, she was excited for me, but
Yeah.
just after playing this game for as long as I have and being so close with like, you get four dealt to a royal on a 10 play, you get three aces dealt, you get some other stuff that potentially with the kicker would be a huge payday with the multipliers, and nothing like this ever cashing. It was just I'm smiling about it to this day, and can't stop thinking about it,
I think a lot of people will hear this, and a lot of people, put yourself in your shoes, put themselves in your shoes, and think, "Man, I would have a hard time." My first goal would be not giving it back. Where if I win something like that, I'm going to go back the next day, try to duplicate that feeling, that rush. Has that crossed your mind? How do you balance of like, all right, I want to keep playing. I'm going to, this is part of my repertoire, but I don't want to give too much of this back right away.
Sure. So I thought about that. I thought about hanging them up, calling it quits. Like, again, like how many times have we all said, like, when you're dealt something like that, just one time, that's it. I'm just one time, give it to me. I'm not going to ask for it again. Well, that was my one time. I feel like I'm never, ever going to get, be playing 50 cents on the denomination, have three dealt to the royal on a 10 times multiplier, and then it pops. It's probably never going to happen again. But the other part of me, small part, said, again, hearing about like these extreme runs that people can go on once they get hot. So I'm like, okay, I want to test it out here.
Yeah.
So on Sunday, I went to a local casino, and there's a machine that I played quite a few times over the years, and it used to be a pretty good, machine to me as well. I've hit several jackpots on it. Nothing, again, even close to this, but it's been a dry spell for a while. I was out. I had to make a run, an errand to my buddy's house. And Lorraine knew that I was going to be stopping at Red Rock for a little bit. And I texted her, okay, I just got to the casino. I'm going to come home after a few minutes unless I hit another jackpot. That was my text. Within 13 minutes of me texting her that from the parking garage, sitting down and playing at this machine, I hit another jackpot on Sunday. And so I was probably only playing for like 7, 8 minutes tops, right? And that was four aces with a kicker 12 times. So that's 2,400 credits. And I was only playing 10 cents there. So I was only 2,400, but I'm not complaining, obviously. I'll take it. Give a little bit of that back. And then before the show Monday at Circa, there's another, I love playing the bonus streak. It's too difficult to explain right now. If you want to look up Ultimate X bonus streak, it can get wild when you're playing this game. You can obviously lose a bunch of money playing it, which I have. Needs to be pointed out. But once the machine gets hot and you get all these big multipliers on the screen, it can be a lot of fun. I would say be responsible with it if you can. Always encouraged. So I wanted to play a machine before our show started yesterday. Played for 3 minutes, 3 minutes, and I hit four aces 12 times. Another jackpot. That's 3 and 4 days I played for a combined 20, not even 25 minutes in that time of hitting those jackpots. So
Wow.
I'll probably play a little bit more this week. People have said that you need to play until you see like an ice spell, a cold spell coming again. So I guess I think I'll know when to abort and say, okay, that's enough, and I'm done.
That's incredible. That's absolutely incredible. What a
We'll see.
story.
It's going to be a test of willpower coming up.
Yeah, and look, it's the old term house money. It is house money now. So you know what? You got some wiggle room. You can afford to it was like a hot shooter. You can afford to take a few threes and miss them.
Heat
We've hit a
check
couple
time.
in a row. Heat check, exactly. All right, sports quickly or not quickly, but baseball. You like to dive into these, and there's so much right now. There's so much in terms of markets, league to league in this, over under wins, team versus team win totals that you could you really in order to do it properly, you probably need to spend like almost the better part of a day to just dive into everything. What have you bet? What have you like? What have you started to look at here?
Okay, so I knew I was, if the numbers were right, I was going to be on a couple of pitchers for most strikeouts this year. The first guy I wanted to bet was Kikuchi. I know he's with the Angels now, and so they don't have a very good team around him, but that doesn't matter as long as he can get enough innings pitched this year. We saw him come on after the trade last year to the Astros, and I bet him at 75 to 1. He finished, here's some numbers for you, last year, seventh in Ks per nine, believe it or not. I don't think a lot of people would guess that. At 10.5 Ks per nine last year, seventh most out of all qualified starters. From June 1st to the end of the year, his Ks per nine were 11.38. Second behind Chris Sale, he was ahead of Paul Skenes, and his Ks per nine were 11.9 from July 9th to the end of the year, only behind Blake Snell. I knew I was going to be on him as long as the number was going to be above like 30 or 40 to 1 this year. Grab 75 to 1 on him. I also bet Spencer Schwellenbach with the Braves at 200 to 1. We'll see. Young pitcher, like, is he going to have enough innings pitched to get that? It's unlikely, but also cashing a 200 to 1 ticket is very difficult to do. There's no more Max Fried. This and Spencer Strider's coming off of a major injury. So I think this guy's going to have a spot in the rotation. Double-digit Ks per nine in the minors last year, 9.24 with the big club. He did wear down a little bit towards the end of the year, but I had him in fantasy last year, and there was a six-start stretch that really caught my attention. July 21st through August 22nd, he pitched six-plus innings in all but one start. He struck out a minimum of seven and had 10-plus Ks in two of the other starts, and his Ks per nine during that stretch was 12.66. Knew I was definitely going to be on him this year if the number was right. And then a couple of other guys I wanted to be on as well. One was Xavier Edwards, going to be the everyday shortstop for the Marlins. He was like awesome in the, minimal amount of time that he was playing last year, only 70 games, racked up more than 30 stolen bases. He said last week that he wants to steal more than 60 bags this year. I wanted a higher number on him, but I still bet him at 14 to 1 on stolen bases, and I bet him a couple of different times at 33 to 1 for the most triples this year. He had five last year. He makes a ton of contact and really hits for a nice average, leadoff spot, blazing fast. So at that number, I wanted to take it with him, some of my bets that I have so far.
Wow, that's those are some ones I hadn't thought of. And again, I haven't spent the time. I've just started looking at stuff here or there. I haven't spent the time really diving into it. But those are those are some nice numbers. Do you feel like your research is done, or you're going to add a lot more between now and the
No,
start of the season?
I'll be adding more for sure. Looking at the Fangraphs projections and trying to see what I can find with that. I did add some more too, just based on the number. Ronald Acuña said that he was 90 to 95% a couple of weeks back. I bet him most runs 33 to 1, most hits 150 to 1 as well. They don't expect him back for the beginning of spring training or for the beginning of the season, but what if he misses a week, maybe two? The most runs thing, I think, is absolutely in play for him. And at 150 to one for most hits, I had to take a flyer on that. I took now this is going to be very difficult to win. These all are. Let's not lie to each other here. But the most home runs market to actually have more than Aaron Judge or Shohei Ohtani, I think, is going to be very difficult. Would you not agree with that?
I would only the only thing with Judge is he hit 58 last year, but he played in 158 games. He's had a habit basically. He's been healthy 3 out of the last 4 years, but you look at the back of his baseball card, basically half of his years, he misses a good chunk of games. And without Soto, I know Soto hit in front of him, so you can't call protection, but How much is he going to get walked? How much are teams going to pitch to him? That the injury concern and teams pitching around him to me could keep the judge number down. I actually like him under 49 and a half homers just because I think there's multiple ways to win it. If he misses a month, you're going to win. If teams just say, you know what, Cody Bellinger, you beat me, he could win that way. And he walks a ton. So that would be the only concern with Judge.
Yeah, no, I think you're spot on with that. The concern for Ohtani would be obviously if he's going to go back into pitching, and how many starts is he going to make, and how much will that take away from his power numbers overall. So I did take a flyer on Brett Rooker with the A's. Picked him up last year in fantasy. The guy was a dynamo. Projections have him for as high as like 40 this year. I think that you're going to, if you hit 45 home runs, I think you're going to be like in the mix to win the award based on what you said about Judge, and maybe the pitching for Ohtani can bring it back. I think Schwarber can get to 45. But also there's this unknown with Rooker about playing in Sacramento in that ballpark and playing in that, extreme heat for the summer months. And, maybe he had a career year last year. He just turned 30 years old. Maybe he didn't. Maybe that was a start of him actually being in his prime. Maybe he's blossoming a little bit late here and he rakes, more than 40 home runs this year, and I'm in the conversation at that point. Or maybe he has the lead in home runs and it turns into like a two or three, person race, and then I can start to hedge because books will post this pretty much the entire year.
30-1 at DraftKings for most homers still, so that's not bad. What number do you see a
I
better
grabbed
number?
30. I grabbed 30 with
Yeah.
him. I think 30-1 at DK is probably I think I saw as low as 16.
Yeah.
I think Circa got as low as like 24, so I think 30 is probably by far the best in the market.
Any teams you're especially high or especially low on?
Well, I will tell you that a couple of people who I trust brought this up. I want to say back in December, they're really good at baseball. They concentrate on like one win total the entire year. They love the Guardians over last year, so I'm going to go bait, and it makes a lot of sense. Reds over, right? I
I
mean,
like it.
you're. So the offense, they're going to have a ton of guys in the offense that are really, really good, above average players. This comes down to whether or not the starting staff can stay healthy, but also the bump that they're going to get with Tito as the manager, right? I mean, it doesn't, the numbers here, the resume doesn't lie again. The guy is awesome wherever he goes, and he has like an immediate impact, especially with the pitching. So especially if Hunter Green can stay healthy. That's a guy that could win most Ks. He could win the National League Cy Young, but if he can give them 30 starts and Lodolo can stay healthy, I think they have a really good chance of going over their season win total.
He was making a run for Cy Young last year. I think I had Femi Ebefe on, who used to work with us at VSiN, late July, and he was maybe 100-1, 80-1, something really long. And then maybe a month later, he's down to like 15, 20-1. Then he got hurt, and obviously that killed any chance. But he was making a run last year. Lodolo is another one, needs to stay healthy. Really good stuff. Just it's always kind of always something with him in terms of injuries. But no, I agree completely. You add Brady Singer. You add, remember Spencer Steer was a monster offensive player 2 years ago, missed all last year. They check all the boxes. Plus, that's a division where you can jump up and you can win it with maybe 89, 90, 91 wins. There's no Dodgers, there's no Mets, Braves, Phillies. So, yeah, I've seen some plus 600, plus 650 to win a division. I don't think that's bad at all.
No, I don't hate that whatsoever. I really don't. There's another one too. I think the Royals total might be a little bit low. Like they're good, right? They have a true ace in Reagans. They have guys behind him in the rotation that are also super solid. And our buddy Mike Palm would argue that Seth Lugo is actually the ace. And a ton of young talent on that offense and in that lineup. And, Witt's one of what, the top three, top four or five players in the entire sport?
Sure. Absolutely. Would have liked if they did a little more in the offseason, but no, they're
Yeah.
no, they've definitely got some centerpieces. Last one, college basketball. If you had to make one bet right now to win the title, who's the value on?
Probably Houston because I don't have a ticket on them. And I really don't think that you can like deny the offensive numbers this year, right? That's a thing with them. And so when you go back and look at the history of the criteria that it needs to make, that a team has to have to win the title, and you can still find around 8-1 on them. I know that's not the sexiest number by any stretch. I don't hate it. They're going to be, I mean, if they run, I know a lot of people, we had Jerry Palm on our show yesterday from CBS. He thinks that three SEC teams will get a one and then Duke. But if Houston wins out, including the Big 12 title game, how are they not going to be a one seed? I think they
I'm with
almost
you.
have to be. They're going to be blazing hot with like hardly any losses in that conference. What do they have? One right now, and they had a bunch of losses early in the season, them coming in overtime. So they're right there with all their numbers compared to like Duke and Auburn and you know, Florida and Alabama. Although I do think that Florida, their number is no longer, I think, bettable, but man, Florida has impressed me so much this year.
Yeah, that was a
Yeah, that was
team
a
that
team that I
I thought was a sleeper last year. Then the center got hurt and they didn't go as far as you'd hope. But that was a team I remember last year that had some sleeper potential. But Mitch, appreciate the time, man. Congrats on your recent hits. Hopefully your luck will rub off on me, maybe some of our listeners. Hopefully it's contagious. That's why we had you on. Hopefully some of this luck spreads. But appreciate it, man. Weekdays, 4 to 7 Eastern, VEASAN. Where else can we find you?
You can follow me, I guess, on X is the best spot. That's where I'm most active on social media at Mitch Moss Radio. And yeah, I hope it does rub off on you and everybody listening to your podcast and our show as well.
All right, Mitch. Appreciate the time, man. We'll do it again soon. Thanks.
Thanks, Will.
All right. Thank you to Mitch Moss. Rate, review, subscribe. Be back Friday. See you then.